Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, October 3rd.
Hello!
And Tori just reminded me it's Rosh Hashanah this morning.
Yeah, this is a bad
day. I totally forgot, even though I went to Rosh Hashanah dinner last night. So go figure where the hell my head is, right? But it's just that I don't feel like it's a holiday when it's Jewish holidays here. It's not like in Israel, you know, because there everybody celebrates.
Yes, I understand.
So you feel it in the air, you know.
I know. In D.C., it's a little bit more like city-like. But it's the Happy New Year. To those who don't know, this is our new year. We eat apples and honey, and we get ready for a banging new year.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is also from now, in the following 10 days until Yom Kippur, we're given a chance to atone for our sins and actually ask for forgiveness both from the Creator and from people that you have wronged in the past year.
Okay, I didn't actually know that I'm supposed to do that starting now.
Yeah, it
okay.
is. It's, Yom Kippur is the culmination of it all.
I see. I started actually always at Yom Kippur.
Right.
No, so I'm late.
Right. Atoning. No, I mean, but most people don't really know that.
Got it. Okay.
They don't understand that.
Got
but
it.
This is the period where they say
I
they're
see.
Written in the book of life.
Of course. You're supposed to. I only do that one day. Wow. I have really cheated out of this Yom Kippur thing.
No, but most people, that's what they do, really.
Okay.
I mean, they just figure on Yom Kippur and stuff.
That's what I do.
But this is a period of 10 days, actually. And this is like everybody's on trial, I guess,
mm-hmm.
up there.
It's like defending your life.
Yeah. And we were
Brooks.
Talking about that. That was cool.
It's so true. No, it's like, if you guys have anything you've always wanted to either forgive or apologize, it's really apologizing, not forgiving.
Exactly.
You go to a friend and you say it during these 10 days.
And you hope that they'll forgive,
and
I
you're
guess.
Really, but yes, but it's not your choice. Your choice
no,
is
it's
to just
not.
Offer the forgive the apology.
Right. But they do have like a ritual called forgivenesses, you know,
uh-huh.
and yeah, forgivenesses, whatever. And yeah, like when they, you know, have you ever seen the people empty their pockets into the ocean? Or
yeah, we used to do like with, we cast rocks into the little river at Rock Creek by the temple.
When you were a kid or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, and it's like
yeah.
your sins and you drop them away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what this is. And some people actually, you know, wave a chicken around their head and stuff
What's
like that.
What's going on? Where did we
so,
go from there?
It's so ancient and barbaric and stupid.
How did the chicken thing come about?
It's sort of like it's taking on the scene. No, I'm sorry. It's like taking on your sins, I guess.
I see.
Yeah.
With the chicken.
Yeah, the chicken.
This I don't
so
understand.
You're projecting your sins onto the chicken.
I'm sorry. Everything made sense until you're like, and then you put a chicken over your head. And I'm
right.
like, I've lost you.
Exactly.
Makes
At what
no sense.
Point did that make sense?
No, no. And
That's
also the
I'm
Christmas
saying.
Tree with Christmas. What does that make sense? It's a pagan druid symbol.
That's true, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But people love it.
People
what
love it.
Gonna
Trust
do?
Me, I'm going to have the biggest effing Christmas tree. This Jew is going to go nuts. I'm going to be blinking red and green in my house at all times.
Right.
Yeah.
But what's going to happen to Judaism a few generations from now?
Well, the thing is, I'm also doing a huge Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I'm just mixing. The
right.
only Christian thing I am doing, I think, in my family, because I married an Irish Catholic, is that big old Christmas, which is very
yeah.
commercial.
And a lot of people love Christmas. Even Jews do.
Exactly. So yeah. I will keep a lot of the traditions, but... Oh, that Christmas has got me itchy.
Yeah,
I love
right?
it.
Ooh. I know. It's a great season for everybody. I
and
mean,
Santa never came to my house, so I never right. experienced it.
I know. And you try to imagine, how does Santa and all these stories fit in with a holiday like this, you know, with a religious
it's
holiday?
It's back to pagan. It's like Saint Nicholas, and then it's back yeah. to like an old, it's a druid god, like a Norse god.
Mm.
It all comes from the pagans.
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
yeah.
Some of it does,
Some.
But yeah. I guess, but it depends how far back you want to go, I
yeah.
guess, right?
Yeah, we go way far back.
Yeah. yeah.
This is our 5,777th
year. Yeah, that the world has existed.
The world has existed.
Yeah, exactly.
5,777.
Right.
It sounds like a rap song, like an area code. Watch out, 5,777.
Or call 7,
yeah.
you know?
8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8.
Wow.
That gets in my head a lot.
I know, right? Oh, but that's what they do.
It's keys on Van Nuys.
Yeah, you know, that's like an audio logo, and it's amazing.
Totally.
You know? Yeah. Ugh. It's really cool. Radio stations do that.
Yeah, but they always have like a barbershop quartet being like, 102.7. And I'm like, they got to chill out.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, I like our theme song because it's like, ooh. And they're like, come on, listen.
I'm
like,
yeah, I know. Well, what are you going to do? You know, people do all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was great. I worked, and but I also went to the beach, went to the dog beach, Leo Carrillo, where you can take your dogs.
I was just talking about that one because did you notice there's a tenting camp there?
No.
No, because they're saying that's where you can go because I wonder where I can go with the tent.
Oh, that's right. Okay, they did have like RVs and trailers set up, and there is a camp. Yeah.
Right.
It is empty. It's beautiful. It's empty. There is a dark part of the sand that may be some tar, but you just believe it's black sand like Hawaii.
Yeah, right.
So it's really lovely. And I got to watch a golden retriever like frolic into the ocean off leash on in the sunset. And I was like, this is my heaven.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you like, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You're like, get me away from these dogs.
No, not really. But it's just like, I'm not crazy about you are.
That's me, yeah.
But at any rate, talking about RVs and everything, my brother and his family took, they have a big RV and they always go places. But this time they decided they'd just go a couple nights over down here to Playa del Rey.
Nice.
There's an RV park there. So I went to visit them yesterday.
Nice.
Just while they were there. The best steaks. My brother makes the best stuff on the grill.
Any secret recipe?
No. He just has the touch, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, I screw up steaks for the most part.
Really?
He's good at it. Yeah. He's a really family man, you know?
Yeah,
so
I like that.
He's developed all that. He likes to cook. Mm-hmm. His son, 18 years old now, he's becoming a chef himself. So, yeah, and his wife cooks well. So, yeah, I mean, it's a cooking family.
Yeah, I would hang around them all the time.
Right?
Oh, my God. Free food.
No, we go there a lot.
Heck
for dinner and stuff.
Yum.
So yeah, so I met him there, and it's amazing. You know, it's a lifestyle that many of us don't really see. You know, when you go into an RV park, I mean, people just park one next to each other.
Everyone's friendly.
Yeah, they sit around. You know, they drink, they laugh, they smoke cigarettes, whatever they smoke. And but everybody's happy. Apparently,
I know.
People go on the beach. It's right on the beach. And
what
stuff.
Is the one thing they have in common? They travel.
Yeah,
that's what makes them happy.
They travel and they love it. And
that's
some
right.
people, I guess, you notice, and like an old couple or something would be would have this huge. Expensive RV.
Hell yeah.
And you figure they sold their house and this is how they live
My
now.
Grandparents did cross country in an RV.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, that's so badass.
It really is,
really cool. And it means what's interesting is that group of an RV campers is actually, it's interesting. All of those people have the same common interests.
Mm.
They like to travel. They like to be in their RVs. They like to probably eat, cook a little bit. So it's a very friendly environment because everyone's the same.
Exactly.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, I know. And they all love to travel.
Yeah.
And
they're open-minded.
So they can share a lot of that.
And they're patient because there's got to be patience in that traffic.
Yeah, right?
Oh my God. You know what I mean? These are cool people.
I know. And how do they drive those huge things?
I don't know. But I want, like, if I ever got one, I need it to be, like, decked out.
Yeah.
Totally.
No, definitely. And some of them really are.
Yeah, they really are.
And you'd be amazed, you know, because once they connect and hook up, then they, some of them actually can open sideways as well.
Yeah, it's
so
like
it makes it as wide.
Yeah, yeah,
it makes it as wide as a train car.
Yeah.
And I thought, my God, this is really cool.
You know what's going to come out next is the Tesla RV.
Yeah, right.
And we're going to go like crazy for it. It's going to like drive itself.
Yeah, that's true. It can actually carry a big battery, which is the most important thing.
Is it to last?
Cars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's true.
Wow.
Hmm. But some of them look like buses. I mean, it's hard to believe.
How do you drive those things?
Yeah, how do you drive it? And also, how do you afford something
like
that?
Yeah, how the gas has got to be incredible.
Right. Everything about it's got to be expensive.
Yeah.
My God. But I think if you just rent a decent-sized one, and you take a few days or a week or a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I think it could be amazing.
Yeah, Instagram your shit. Also, name it.
Yeah.
So give me a Dirty Harry. You got to name your trailer.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You got to name the thing because then it has a personality.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You got to name
true.
It.
That's true. So you're a namer?
I'm a huge namer. Cool really? Kid Luke. Like, give me some cool Steve McQueen. Like, yeah, something right? old school. I like that. You got to name him.
Cool.
Yeah.
In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. Her name is Dana Falk, and she's a founder of something interesting. So we're going to talk to her about
it. It kind of relates to the RVing a little bit.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly, exactly.
I know, and Segway.
Exactly. So, yeah, so I actually enjoyed being down there for a few hours. And, you know, even if you don't have time, you just go down the coast for an hour, and you can find you're in another world.
It's a really relaxing way to travel, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, really relaxing.
So I think that's what I'm going to do, because I can't figure out where I want to go.
Well, RV is great, because you get to have a house wherever you are.
Yeah,
that's a great
exactly.
idea. So are you thinking of, like, doing a cross-country? What are you thinking?
I don't know. Yeah, I would. Like a cross-country.
Let's get some emails on us.
Or get
suggestions.
As far as we can get, you know? But the places I really want to go, like, I'd love to go up north to Oregon, Montana.
Yep, big
You
guy.
Know, yeah, places like that.
You should go fly fishing
on.
In the rivers.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Idaho. That wouldn't be bad. Even get to Canada or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Could do a whole Northwest trip.
But you need a lot of time for that, you know.
You
so
sure do.
I don't know. I think for a few days, maybe we'll just hit Northern or Central California.
Yeah,
or something.
Okay, that's fair too.
Maybe a Lake Tahoe type of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
I think start small.
Yeah,
like I would be like, I'm going to Africa. Exactly. I'm like, no, like start small. Go to do California.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think I want to find a small group to go with. It would nice. Be amazing that way. You know.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so the guest is going to call in a few minutes. Also, the for those of you who haven't been, they're going to have another great love debate this week.
That's and right. She texted me. Come on over.
She did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, but I guess you can go with your husband.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because there were couples there. Well, it's a singles event, but you can go as a couple.
So remember, what's the goal, Sam? After the
goal is
meet at the bar. Remember, they
right.
all meet at the bar.
But that's what they always say. It never happens. To me, you know when it happens?
Yeah, you're like in the parking lot waiting for people.
Yeah. No, you got to get there a little before.
Got it.
Or hit on someone right after it's over.
Super quick. The lights
like
come up.
Within
what's your
5
name?
Minutes.
I'm a Capricorn. I like walks on the beach. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Just find the one that you've looked at the whole time and just walk up to
just
her
zero
and say
in.
Something. Exactly.
I like it.
That's what I was doing, what I've been doing in the last couple times.
There you go.
But, yeah, so I'll try and use my charm this time. Maybe I'll pick up something.
There we go.
Know.
Yeah. There we go.
I don't know. So, yeah, yeah. I don't understand though about these things, you know, when people go. I mean, the last one, it had like 90% women and maybe like 10 guys or something, you know. So the women were just like jaded, I think, or disappointed, whatever, and I think they just all left.
No, I think they the woman said they all went to a bar for happy hour.
Oh yeah, across the street.
That's what I'm
right?
trying to tell you.
Okay.
Remember to go.
Oh,
to that
so
bar.
It's the bar across
that's
the street.
That's what I'm
saying. Because I keep thinking of the bar at the Improv.
No, no,
and
they have
nothing
to clear. No, they have
yet.
To clear the room for another show.
Right,
so
but
they take, there's a bar across the street they all go to.
Right, but there's a bar in the Improv also, like outside the Improv,
oh,
sort of.
Yeah.
And and that's where people hang out,
yeah.
But nobody stayed.
No.
So we'll see. Yeah,
follow the women.
I'm going to follow the women next time. Exactly. And I mean, that would be heaven to be with 100 women and only 10 guys.
Come
you
on.
Know?
You yeah. can beat them.
I will.
Suckers.
I have to figure out the system.
Suckers.
Beat the system, right?
First, get to the bar.
So I hope I have a good story on Friday or something.
Fingers
I'm
crossed.
Sure I will. There's always something good
fingers
coming out of that.
Fingers crossed.
But yeah, but my friend who I usually go with said that he may not go, so I might just do it by myself.
Hey.
But I know people there,
yeah.
So
also
it's not
go
like
single
that.
Is great. You got no baggage, you got no wingman.
Exactly,
you're like Maverick. You're just
right.
hanging out. Tom Cruise going there.
Yeah, except last time I was joined by a woman that's very nice, and she's probably she is going to be on our show. Oh, there's our guest, and it's probably better.
We'll never hear this story.
Yeah, because I shouldn't.
Now I'm more interested.
Yeah, I know. It sounds interesting, right? Okay. Well, we're going to get to our guest right now, and we're joined by Dana Falk. Dana, are you here with us?
I am.
Woo-hoo.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Welcome to the show. It's me with Tori here, and we're happy to hear from you.
Yes.
Where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm actually calling you from New York.
Ooh.
Oh, New York. Is that your home there?
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool. Because I know sometimes people travel, especially in the stuff that you do, right? You get to travel a lot, probably.
Yes, actually, I just came back from a 2.5 week book tour. It was like a tour of America. It was pretty awesome.
See, she's like RVing too. She's
touring
America.
Exactly. Now, so I guess Tori wants to get right into it.
Sorry.
So we'll talk about the RVing and all that stuff. You're what you call fangating lifestyle pioneer, and I must admit I never heard of the I've heard of tailgating, but
I've heard of fangating because I went to Michigan, so I know fangating a little bit. I'm excited to speak with the expert though.
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead, tell us what it is.
I think you've sort of hit the nail on the head right there. So tailgating is very specific in that it only relates to when you're in the parking lot. So it's eating and drinking and hanging with friends and family while you watch sports and you gear up to watch sports, but you're in the parking lot. And then people also home gate, which is at home, same traditions, essentially eating, drinking, hanging with friends and family and watching sport, but at home.
Yeah.
And so I actually just created the word fangating as a way to sort of capture all of them.
The umbrella.
It's a location-neutral term. So if you're eating and drinking, hanging with friends and family and watching sports, wherever you are, you could literally be on the moon, you are fangating.
Whoa,
if you're on the water, is it watergating? No, I'm just kidding. That's so stupid.
Right.
That's so stupid.
Well, that's the thing is there's so many different terms. So I was just like, let's just have one.
Yeah, that's
let's
a good
just
call.
Do one.
Yeah.
There you go. Good. And now, so you also have a book, The Hungry Fans Game Day Cookbook. And so you're focusing on the eating side of this sort of like lifestyle.
Yeah.
At the culinary.
So, yeah, exactly. So the book is 165 recipes for game day or for fan gating. And 40 of the recipes I actually sourced from professional athletes and Olympians.
Oh, that's cool. I like that idea.
Yeah. So what kind of foods? I mean, I go on the website. Actually, let's give your website out. It's hungryfan.com. I think very easy to remember. And 165 recipes. You can find out about the book here. And, I mean, there's a wealth of information here on everything you might want to know about food that you eat on game day. So chips and dips, finger foods. Wow. I mean, just look at this stuff.
I know. I'm getting very hungry. Is there a favorite one of your fangate that you like have always loved?
Is there one what?
Is there I'm a favorite sorry. Recipe that you have always loved?
Oh, well, so that's like choosing amongst your favorite children.
Sophie's
choice.
If your kid
is your favorite. But, I really like to do... So on any given game day, you have the home team and you have the away team.
Right.
And so I really like to do one recipe for each team as a way to celebrate the food culture and the region where that team comes from or hails from. Just because, as you probably know, as you travel around the United States, which is a huge country, there's so many different kinds of food cultures that you'll find. And it's just really fun to sort of, you know, celebrate those while you celebrate your favorite team and also perhaps the team that you're playing to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. It makes sense, you know. I mean, you go down south or, you know, whatever
the
they got
their changes.
Own. Yeah.
I went to University of Michigan, so I would just put poison in the other team for Ohio State. That would be my goal.
I know.
Right. Make it really
probably
spicy.
Probably not the best for sportsmanship, but that's okay.
Exactly. But do you also use colors, like specific colors for the teams or no?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I mean, I think you can get a little, I mean, so Michigan is maize and blue,
hell,
right?
Yeah, it is. So yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. So you could do corn that's maize colored because maize is corn.
It is true.
But you know, I think you could sort of get into the weeds and get a little kitschy if you start going
into
colors.
Yeah, like hummus and blue things. Yeah, I could get a little campy.
So Dana, this is interesting. So how did you get involved in this? I mean, did you like early on in your life decide this is what I want to do with my free time is get together with people and have fun?
Well, yes, sort of. So my dad is sort of the original Jerry Maguire, if you will, if you saw that movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Whoa. So I grew up around sports and around athletes and sports is sort of just like our family currency. It's just what we do. And I'm the oldest. I have a little sister. So in some ways, I feel like maybe I'm like the son my father never had. Mm-hmm. And which I know he wanted, but unfortunately, he got a sorority instead. You know, I went to a bunch of games with him as a kid, and I started, once I was old enough, I started traveling a lot on my own with the specific focus of seeing matches and races and games played elsewhere. And so, you know, that actually afforded me opportunities to see a lot of the world. Mm. Because, you know, you go to like an All Blacks game or a Springboks game or a sumo match or, you know, Formula One Grand Prix. Like, that's a lot of different sporting events in a lot of different countries. But at the end of the day, the thing that I love the most, that I sort of figured out, that I was able to like wean from all of the experiences and from having grown up the way I did, is that I really love the sports fan experience. I love sitting in stands and feeling that camaraderie and that energy and like magnetism mm-hmm. of my fellow fans. We're all cheering for the same team. We're super psyched. We're amped up. It's crazy. And I just thought there's really no one person or voice or authority in this space that could help make a sports fan's game day better.
That's
and
true.
That this is genuinely what I know more than anything else in my life. Mm-hmm. And so
right.
I'm just going to do this.
Yeah, you seem to be destined to be that person. You know, I mean, just the way you, you know.
You
I
grew
mean,
up, yeah.
Yeah, the way you grew up and, you know, and so forth in a sport-loving family. And like you described, I mean, that was your life, you know. And so obviously you're in it. I mean, that's your lifestyle. And, you know, I never really considered this. I've never really been a sports fan. I think I was when I was really young, mm-hmm. Growing up, going to soccer games and stuff. But other than that, you know, and then I was invited to a baseball game once, and I thought, you know, I could relate to it, Dana, because it's what you were describing, that, like, being all for the same team.
Camaraderie.
Yeah. Right. You're in a big crowd where they all, yeah, cheering for the same team. It's not like you're with a crowd on the freeway and everybody's out
you
for themselves.
You hate yourself.
Right.
No, I remember I went to high school, and we had no football team or cheerleaders because it was sexist. We were very peaceful people.
Really?
Very progressive, okay? Our mascot was the grasshopper. And so we were very non-sportsy. And then I went to Michigan, which is like the biggest sports school in the world. And it was like, oh my God, this feeling is incredible when I was at the Big House. So it is like a gathering feeling of getting everyone together on the same page.
Yeah, exactly. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Washington, D.C., right by the White House, like in D.C., and I went to this private, very hippy-dippy progressive school, and we had to sit on the sidelines and cheer for the grasshoppers. It's not a very mean mascot. It's not. So there was no sense.
It's interesting.
Yeah, there was no sense.
I went to school I was born in D.C. and went to school, public school in Maryland, just outside D.C., actually, and I had a very similar experience.
Cheerleaders,
but it was like not Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, we like
the exact opposite. And if you had school spirit, you were the world's biggest loser,
like huge loser.
I just was like, this is awful. Having known mm-hmm. and having been to so many sporting events prior to even getting to high school, and knowing that my high school was like the anomaly.
Yeah,
I could not wait to get out. And
yeah.
So I actually, you went to Michigan, which is a huge football school. I did one college application. Don't hate me, but I only did one college application because it was Duke or bust. I was going to be a Cam and Crazy or, like, not go to college.
Well, Dana, I wanted to know, what is your favorite sport? I mean, do you have one, or is it, again, having to choose from your children?
You know, it's hard. You know, I played a bunch of sports. I grew up playing soccer and then got into tennis. And I love tennis. I just, from the perspective of playing it, I love the mental game, and I'm fiercely competitive, and I'm not super good at shutting it off. And so I really like tennis, and, you know, it's like one-on-one. I'm going to get in your head, and I'm going to beat you physically. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to watching sports, you know, it's hard. You know, March Madness is one of the most fun, you know, like, month experiences, stretches that you can get. I love college sports. It just seems to matter more.
Yeah.
It feels like people care more.
It's less
there's more heart.
Oh yeah.
And so I think the answer might just be, you know, I think it's a combination of college football and college basketball.
Yeah, my father-in-law was a big sportscaster for Chicago Bears and all of that, and he can't stand to watch professional sports anymore. It's like the heart has gone out of it. So it's college.
Yeah. It's still really awesome, though. I mean, if you ever go to an NFL game or an NFL tailgate in the parking lot, it's really fun.
And I would just go for the tailgating and eat. That's what I would do.
Yeah, you know what? 35% of all tailgaters never leave the parking lot.
That would be me.
Watch the game in the parking lot. Yeah, it's what they did with me. I went to 6 Giants games last year here in New York, and I went into MetLife Stadium 0 times.
You know, but it's so ironic because right before you called, we were talking about traveling in RVs and sitting in parks and stuff. So that's amazing that it happened all on the same show. Dana Falk, everybody go to hungryfan.com and you'll find the book. You'll find a wealth of information here. I mean, it's unbelievable. The number of recipes and the blog and there's even Dana's picks here. So amazing. So these are what you pick, like certain foods and stuff?
I pick recipes that I like or fun game day products that I like. Having people send me a lot of stuff, so I test them out and I read up on them. And you know, there's like 1,000 grills on the market, so what's my favorite grill and why?
Yeah.
And like, fun little things like flasks that are disguised as sunscreen bottles, so that
there you go.
The game.
That's good.
And you know, when it's
and there's also a shop page. You can buy some of my products. And I'm actually running a sale right now. Ooh. I have an organic pumpkin spice blend that you can dissolve into your beer for pumpkin
what?
Spice beer.
What? That's hilarious.
65.
That is hilarious. It's October, baby.
Yeah,
that's
there
right.
You go.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Pumpkin spice everything.
So the book is The Hungry Fans Game Day Cookbook. Dana Falk, everybody go out and get this. It sounds great. And you know what? It's a nice break from all those health food books, you know? Mm. I mean, give me the greasy hot dogs and the hamburgers.
I'm so hungry. You have to stop.
Right?
I'm so hungry.
Yeah.
It's keto day food.
Yeah, there you go. This is what you live for. You know what I'm saying, people?
Oh, yeah.
We live for food like this. So there you go.
It's the best.
Dana, thank you so much for joining us. How can people get a hold of you? Through the website, probably, right?
Yeah, so you can head to my website. Definitely join my newsletter. I send out extra stuff you won't find in the book or online in the newsletter. And you can follow me on social media at The Hungry Fan on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat.
Nice.
Sounds great. Well, congratulations on the book. On the website
Thank
and everything
you.
That you do, Dana, it's amazing. And it's nice to have someone in that space, like you said. You know, I mean, it was definitely something that I didn't know about. But the whole lifestyle now, you got me totally, you know, all stoked to start doing this stuff.
Good,
you know?
It's so amazing. I just want nachos and beer for the rest of my life.
Yeah, there you go, you know, and hot dogs and chili dogs.
Oh,
and,
God.
But there's healthy stuff here, too, I can see. There's drinks, there's guest recipes. Wow, so there you go.
Because it's fun. If you're not really into the sports, it's fun to be part of the party. You
exactly.
Know what I mean?
You don't have to be into the sport
exactly.
to do this. But, yeah, but it helps when you do, you know. And
totally.
Yeah, yeah. Dana, thank you so much again.
Well, I invite you to get on it. Have fun.
Yeah, we'll do. Thanks again, Dana, for calling us. And again, congratulations on everything that you do.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Bye-bye. Wow,
I'm starving.
I know, right?
God, so hungry. But
I mean,
it's the
if you guys go on this website, hungryfan.com.
That's so yummy.
Yeah. Woo! So, yeah, so we were talking about RVs and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's exactly
I thought you were segueing so perfectly from the RV to our guest. But it worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you want to do. You want to meet people. You want to be in a place where common interests. It's the same thing as tailgating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I realized that yesterday the guys next to us was actually my brother told me they're an older couple. We didn't really see them outside the trailer that much. But when they came out... or they actually built like a whole tent outside and they put like paraphernalia of the Pittsburgh Steelers
oh,
and
cute,
stuff.
Okay? Cute.
So So that was good. And I said, well, if they come out, I'll talk to them about the Steelers. I don't know shit about them, but I would talk to them.
There you go.
Because they probably want people to talk to them
about
it.
It's like boating. You know those commercials where they have the people waving and they're like, everyone's friendly on the water.
Right.
It's like that. Like, you could talk to anyone about anything.
Yeah. And my brother and sister-in-law was saying, these people are so friendly. It's unbelievable.
We should get a Democrat and Republican RV camp and see if we can make some progress.
Yeah, bridge over.
Or
people will start. Can you
no,
see
it's
two
riding.
Camps?
It's just riding.
Two camps with like arrows with fire.
This is how war starts. Yeah. Not a good idea. I play back that. I take that back.
Exactly. Like just the separate ones.
Woo.
Everyone supporting their own team.
Exactly.
Yeah. You definitely, I don't think you want to get people that are not politically compatible in the same room together, in the same park together.
Just sit and eat and talk. Oh, yeah, what could go wrong?
Yeah, so that's a fail.
Yeah. Hashtag epic fail. Whatever.
No, but I mean, but it would be a great idea to have like all liberals in one park.
Yeah, of course.
And you guys can bask in your... And you're probably almost sure success in the election.
Yes. Trump came back again today. It was earlier today and said he thinks maybe Hillary wasn't loyal to Bill, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, why is he?
And also, of all both candidates, I think Donald's the one with his dick out a lot, to be super
honest. It seems
honest.
Like it, right?
He has 5 children from 3 different women. I don't know if he should be talking. So, and there's no evidence that Hillary ever... But yeah, he's just gone off the rails. And he just, the crowd...
They put
him on a prompter, and it took 25 minutes to get to the prompter. And the whole time before, he was riffing on Hillary. And his you know, aides were like, get to the prompter!
Yeah, I guess he's like, I guess when he doesn't know what to say, he goes to what he knows.
Well, he likes
and
the
that
crowd.
Is how to attack.
He likes the crowd. So if he gets a laugh, even a little laugh, like as a comic, if you get a laugh on a joke, you go with it, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm there.
Good.
He goes to an extreme with this. This is how like volatile and needy and narcissistic. If someone claps, he's going all in.
Yeah.
So he said something about Clinton and his infidelity, and then he was like, and Hillary, and then he got claps and laughs, and he's like, wait a minute, I'm going to say Hillary. And then it was big claps, and then he's like, she should be, Bill cheated on, he just went crazy.
Yeah, he really did,
yeah.
You know?
So that's who he is. He cannot stay on message.
And no, he can't. No. He gets distracted, and they keep trapping him, setting up traps for him. And he keeps falling.
Well, apparently Hillary Clinton and her staff hired psychologists, and they tried to find a way that you psychologically can go under someone's skin.
Mm.
And it worked perfectly.
It did.
Like everything, she just laid those baits and he just grabbed it at him.
Yeah.
So it's not a good week.
No, not at all. And then Rudy Giuliani gets involved in all this.
What is he doing?
And he says, so I guess he's facing accusations about infidelity.
He left his wife who had cancer. Well, and he left her
That's
for another
true.
Woman.
Yeah,
this
who was
man
like,
should not be discussing infidelity.
Infidelity. So what does he say when they ask him about it? He says, well, everybody does.
Oh, what a disgust. You know what?
I mean, what is this?
What's like, crazy is Giuliani had a lot of compassion and people loved him after 9/11. He was the people's mayor. Even before that.
Yeah.
And he really
cleaned up
New York.
Yeah.
And then to jump, I read a New York Times article about Chris Christie.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy Giuliani, and it's like they jumped on this weird Trump bandwagon. After he loses, they have no credibility.
That's
like,
true,
why
huh?
did you put your whole political legacy in that
behind,
wagon? Yeah.
Yeah, behind the loser.
You look like an
yeah.
idiot. So they're talking about his tax returns, and Giuliani's like, well, it makes him a genius if he didn't pay taxes. I was like, wow, all right.
Yeah, so he's just as bad as...
I don't know how he's doing.
Got there, you know? Yeah. At one point, I thought it was going to be him and Hillary... during the what was it, the 2008 elections?
Yeah,
I thought in the when there were two primaries, he was in the Republican side and she was on the Democratic mm-hmm. side, and then Obama beat mm-hmm. her. And
but like, notice that Giuliani was like at that level; he was at a presidential level,
right.
And now he looks just like a jackass.
Yeah.
So they were all talking about why did Chris Christie put Giuliani put all of their weight into this guy?
Because they're stupid.
But they can't.
Know?
They're not that stupid.
I can see that Christie's stupid. I mean, because some of the things I've heard him say.
Man.
But Giuliani, yeah, I mean, he's got a mouth too. So
he just—I just don't get the reason. Like Chris Christie's very charismatic and could have done very well. I think he's a big mean bully, but I think he's charismatic. And to jump in with Trump was such a lame move. You look dumb, sir.
Yeah.
You look stupid. Anyway.
I know. I know. I don't know what they're doing.
No,
man.
But everyone now. There's a music video of her doing the shimmy. Remember when she shimmied at the debate?
Oh yeah, I saw that.
So now there's like a whole thing shimmy if you're with her.
With her and Donald too. He's
oh
like
yeah, everyone shimmy, shimmy, shimmy. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's what that is.
Oh yeah.
I didn't realize that's what it is.
She did a nice little shimmy. He said, "I have a better temperament than you." And instead of responding, she laughed and went woo and just shimmied, and it was like a great response. Because what else are you gonna do?
Well, she totally fucking owned him in that.
She
way.
Did. She sure did. And so, Alec Baldwin, do you see his impression of him on SNL?
No, I just saw the... I've heard of it. Is it good?
Spot on.
Really?
Spot on.
I think they may have it here.
The
maybe we can play
it.
The
voice was spot on, and it was... I thought it was excellent.
Really?
Yeah. The impression
here,
was excellent.
They have it here. Let's see if we can hear it. If they actually can play it here. So who's playing Hillary?
She Kate McKinnon. Good.
Oh, okay.
McKinnon just won an Emmy for the first SNL cast member. She won an Emmy for her performance on SNL.
Really?
Yeah, and she's the first openly gay cast member, which is also very cool.
Wow.
But she plays Hillary, and it's just funny because she just looks at camera and reels him in with a little fishing reel.
Yeah. Here, let's listen to this.
Good evening, America. I am going to be so good tonight. I am going to be so calm and so presidential.
Oh, okay. SNL has a lot
of... This is like a video.
Hey, jazz man. I've got a very presidential answer for this. Our jobs are fleeing this country. They're going to Mexico. They're going to China. I will stop that. If Hillary knew how, she would have done it already, period. End of story. I won the debate. I stayed calm, just like I promised, and it is over. Good night, Hofstra.
Pretty good,
oh,
huh?
He looked great. And then he talked about his mouth looking like a little butthole. Because you know Trump's mouth
Yeah,
like
I
a
saw
butt.
How he did this. Like a... Yeah,
oh,
like
Lord
a butthole.
Yeah.
My God.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this guy's like, how can you possibly expect someone like that that's being ridiculed like that to be a president?
What's sad is, like, he will get millions of votes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even know if I don't know if I know anyone who is, like, pro-Trump. I think I do. I think I have an aunt that's pro-Trump.
Right.
Everyone has an aunt that's pro-Trump.
Yeah.
Everyone has that aunt.
But also,
but
I
really
think...
know people that would...
The funny thing is, I don't think people are openly... for Trump. Well, I think there's a lot of people you may not know that are like, you know, the funny thing is when he just jumped in, I decided I wanted to get his book and see where he sits because I was as surprised as anybody, right? So I wanted to see where he stands on all the issues and stuff. And I remember I was embarrassed to actually take the book to the counter.
You know what's funny?
Right?
I almost bought Ivanka Trump shoes at Nordstrom's. Uh-huh. I'm like, well, I can't walk my ass over with Ivanka Trump shoes. She makes great shoes.
Right.
I could do that. But what's interesting is some of them, the majority of the Trump supporters, are blindly vocal. They're the middle Americans, probably non-college educated, more blue collar, and those people are very open. But you look like, to me, I can't even imagine being for him. And I can't, what he's trying to gain, the only way he can get to 270 is to gain, really, Philadelphia suburban mothers. That is what he is looking for right now. And when you treat a woman poorly and treat her and bring up Rosie O'Donnell, you're not really converting the Philadelphia suburban mom.
No, exactly. No. Exactly. And in some key states, he's not doing very well either. You know. And the thing is that he really doesn't belong here.
Yeah.
I think it shows that America's infatuation with celebrity is what got him there.
Yeah.
We're infatuated with money and celebrity, and he's got both.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what has done it. But I'll bet you a lot of people are like me, and they're saying, what am I going to, you know, if I don't want too liberal, too big a government, I have to vote for him. You know, it's such a dilemma. I mean,
can you do a write-in? Why don't you write in a candidate?
What does that mean?
You can write in. You don't have to vote for one of two. You can write in Ted Cruz. You can write in Jeb.
But, you know, that's meaningless.
I know.
Yeah.
But it's better than a meaningful vote for him.
Yeah.
I don't know,
man.
I think, like, every year Homer Simpson gets written in, like, 5% of the vote.
Yeah.
Or, like, Bart Simpson.
Yeah, right?
Like, a lot of people, like, yeah, write right? in Bart. I think that's, like, every year. It's very interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. And it's pretty ridiculous that I still don't know what I'm going to do. But the point is that I think most people on the right feel the same way.
Oh, 100. I feel very bad for you guys. Yeah. I have a lot of sympathy because it's, I don't know, you're in a tough little position
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it is. It's
and
it's
I don't
a
know
Sophie's
what I would
choice.
Do. It is a Sophie's choice, but I mean.
But of the things you don't want.
Right. I mean, it's not, it's all rock and a hard place, yeah. you know? But then just write in Bart yeah. Simpson and you're fine.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But I mean, you know, I mean, look, I may just vote for Hillary. I mean, I think when you look at the lesser of two evils for me.
She's qualified.
Yeah,
she's prepared.
I think 4 years of her is not going to kill me.
There you go. You guys heard it first. You heard it here first.
Yeah. That's true, huh? You got me to say it, goddamn it.
I did it. I'm out. No, I'm good.
But I don't have a choice. If I'm to vote, and I am planning on voting, then I have to vote for somebody, you know? Yes. And I'm looking at this guy, and I'm listening to him. And I said, I can't be bunched up with the people that I think are crazy for voting.
Crazy, crazy. And those people are vocally in support of him.
Yeah.
And when you're vocally and actively supporting Trump, I think you're just crazy.
Yeah, it is. And I said that from the beginning, yeah. actually. And, yeah. You know, that's why if I posted anything, it was always just a commentary on the fact that he was even in the race. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of it, mm-hmm. but then I realized
it just got not funny, got more serious.
I can't possibly quote him and be proud of what he said.
I know.
You know?
No, I know. It's not good. What's interesting is I'm a pop culture correspondent for Fox here in LA, and they started bringing me in for Donald Trump discussions, political discussions. And yeah, I have a political background in DC, but you know, I'm a pop culture person. So, and then it got more and more, and then it was like me against a GOP strategist, and I realized pop culture had become political. And they didn't have anyone else. I mean, they needed someone with a pop culture celebrity mind to be talking about the presidency. It was very sad.
Yeah, wow.
It was very sad. But it had become, pop culture becomes so prevalent.
That's true, right?
The celebrity of it, like you were saying. It's like,
but maybe it's also good that people get more into politics, you know? People care a little more.
Oh, yeah. The search for registering to vote is like jumped a huge amount this past week.
Really?
So that's great. It's always good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
But how come you never promote yourself on Channel 5? Let's hear about that so people can tune in.
Well, I never know when I'm going on. I get the call that day.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So it's not regular.
No, it's just when they need someone to go up against someone. They have, like, Trump did something stupid, I'll be on.
I see. Okay, good.
Or Hillary did something stupid, I'll be on.
But he's done a lot of stupid things. They better call
you
a lot.
I was on a lot. To be honest, it was like every Thursday was like, oh, another Trump? Yep, I'll be there. Yep. And sometimes he'd be like, just be there Thursday because he's going to say something stupid.
Yeah, right? Wow.
Yeah.
So can we see this like online or something?
Yeah, you can go. Yeah, you can see it on my ToriShulman.com is my website. And on my hosting reel, you can see bunches of little pop culture hits that I did. But it's really fun. You get great hair and makeup. You go in for 5 seconds. It's live TV.
Yeah.
You never know what Tori's going to say. One time I said balls, and then I looked at camera and said, can I say balls? And I go, well, I said it. So... That went well. That went very well.
Well, yeah. I know. Live is live.
There's live
nothing
is
you
live.
Can do about it. That's why here we don't have to watch what we say. You know,
that's it's the like best part. I know.
Everything's game here.
It's perfect. Oh, Lord. But,
I know. So listen, for the pop culture lover here, this is breaking news. I mean, Kim Kardashian got robbed.
Held at gunpoint in France with multiple people aiming guns at her. They all pretended to be police officers, and they were protecting her jewelry. And they shut the door and turned on her and held her up.
Wow.
And took millions of dollars.
Millions worth.
Of jewelry.
$10 million worth.
That is, and it must have been terrifying. Now, Kanye was at a concert.
Yeah.
And he did hear, and he left, which he should have. But that's terrifying.
Yeah.
No matter if you hate Kim or you don't hate Kim Kardashian, that's really scary.
Right.
Yeah.
It is scary. But what the hell is she doing with $10 million worth of jewelry?
She's going to Fashion
Jewelry.
Week.
Jewelry. No, I understand. But you know what? This is like conspicuous consumption, I think. This is like when you really don't have anything to buy anymore. You spend $10 million on something like this. But think of what $10 million could do for a lot of people.
But like all Kim Kardashian
So suddenly I'm like the liberal bullshit.
Right now I'm
right?
like, hey there. But no, all, just, but as yeah. a, to be honest, she, that's all she has is her brand. She has no talent. So for her, it's the jewelry, the makeup, and the clothes.
That's
is what makes
her. Exactly.
So you have to understand
gotcha.
That's how she pays. That's her profit.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, I mean, I think you can't blame anyone being held up at gunpoint.
No. I didn't blame her for being held up.
But
I just
for the
said,
$10 million.
I'm just asking in general, why would you accumulate so much in jewelry at any point in your life?
And a lot of the things
is the point
well
of
stylists
it?
Bring millions of dollars of jewelry and they pick that day for the fashion week
exactly
so she didn't wear, she's not gonna wear
so
it all.
They have to give it back sometime too,
so
right?
A lot of this was borrowed and they were just choosing but God, it's just scary. That's scary because that was a planned, you know, that's a heist. That is a heist right
It is
there.
A heist and a successful one.
They sure did get away with it.
I didn't realize they were dressed like cops, but would explain. They did overpower the guard, I guess, or something.
Yeah, because she
right?
always has a bodyguard, but you can bet from now on that security will be ten times more.
Yeah.
I mean, she already is covered by huge security, but that they came in as cops and dressed as cops and then turned on her.
Wow.
It's not good.
Wow.
Yeah, it's scary.
Pretty scary stuff, man. Yeah.
Usually Kim Kardashian were just like nothing, but this was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, no, and she is a human being.
Yeah,
you know?
With
nobody
kids,
wants
mom,
to be
you know?
In that point, in that space, you know. Wow.
Yeah. And she like loves Paris. She and Kanye like always go to Paris. So I wonder if this not a good sign for her. In Paris.
Yeah. So finally, I guess we only have a few minutes. Facebook is coming out with a thing called Marketplace, which is a Craigslist competitor.
Oh, wow.
So this is going to be like people can actually look up like things on sale and interact and
it's
so forth.
It's
going
to be more creepy. Sales.
Right, right. But
that's
I mean,
interesting.
But this is going to like change the rules,
yeah.
I think. If
is it like Amazon or is it more Craigslist where it's from you to someone else?
Like, no, I think it's more like Craigslist than eBay. It's more like person to person.
They should. I mean, it's the next thing they do is consumerism. Facebook needs to get into that. You can't buy anything on Facebook. So maybe
right,
the
exactly,
first time, right?
You know. And they're saying, I mean, it's, I guess they had something like this back in 2007, but it didn't work. They didn't catch on that.
Yeah,
time.
That's interesting.
I know. But it could be a game changer for Craigslist and stuff.
God, you know who I always wanted to meet?
Who?
Craig.
Yeah?
Who's that guy?
He's actually, why don't you look him up?
I did. There's I think I learned. And yeah, but did he start it or is it someone just called it Craigslist?
No. He started it.
Okay.
He started it.
Good for
it
that
in
guy.
His own
Good for
time.
Craig.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I mean, my God.
I use him all
everything.
The time.
I know.
For real.
So do many people.
Yeah.
So
but it is
people.
Funny. You haven't seen a Craigslist competitor.
Right.
So this is interesting because I'm trying to think, what is the competitor? I guess eBay or Tradesy maybe, but this is, this would be it.
Yeah. No, I mean, eBay is not quite the same, I wouldn't say, you know. I mean, it is for selling things, but as far as other sections like talent.
Or jobs or the housing.
Right.
Like, yeah, there's
you know,
no other.
Nothing
it's so
like it.
And it's so, the interface is so simple still.
Right.
It's like just blue and purple, white. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And you only pay if you're like a business posting.
Yeah, it's
you know?
Free. I love it.
So, yeah. You know, it's very
Craig,
cool.
If you're listening, we want to meet you in person.
Very cool. Someone's calling, but I'm not picking up.
It's Craig.
We're just about, just about to get off the air, and I don't want to start another topic with a caller. So we'll see what's gonna happen. But if you guys like to call in, call in during
call
the show.
In.
You know, not that I like calls, and I've said this many times before.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have. I've always said don't call in.
Oh,
I don't
my
wanna,
bad.
Yeah, no. Because callers, obviously, I mean, it's just to say hi or what's going on and stuff. And it takes away the conversation.
No, it does. It's just they might compliment me, and I'm very greedy.
And we could pepper it up with some calls sometimes. Yeah, I agree. Okay, guys, so you can call in, but not at the last moment. There's some cop shooting things that I don't even want to bring up. It's so depressing, you know. I don't even want to hear about this. Yeah. So everybody, check out our guest for today, Dana Falk. The website is hungryfan.com. I'm definitely checking
it
out.
Go get your grub on, you guys.
I mean, you look at all these pictures of all this food and you go, my God.
It's like food porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the leaves are changing. It's getting colder. And you know what that means. Sweaters and tailgating and beer and food.
That's true. It is getting colder, right?
Yeah. It's like football season.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like downstairs, it was a cool wind.
I was
going to
wear a scarf. I really
was.
Like an asshole. Like an L.A.
She's
asshole.
She's being impatient. Relax.
I was like, I got
down.
So many scarves.
Slow down a little bit.
I know.
Scarves are definitely not an L.A. type like of fashion, yeah. Although I love it. I love that kind of fashion.
Me too.
I wish we had it here.
Europe
you know,
has
more
it
like
more.
With
yeah.
coats and you know. And,
me too.
But it never gets cold
I also look slimmer in the right kind of coat, and I'm like, but I can't wear it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it covers up that hip.
Yeah, either that.
God, but it's too hot. Motherfucker.
Yep. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us today. Always a pleasure.
Always.
To all our Jewish friends.
Lashana Tova.
Yeah,
Happy New Year.
Lashana Tova. Happy Rosh Hashanah, whatever you want to call it. And hoping a great new year for everybody,
That's
really.
Right. That's right.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.